UP government has hit the national headlines by passing what is called as Unlawful Conversion Prohibition Ordinance 2020, obviously with the intention of making into a bill and an act later through the UP assembly. Should not be a problem because BJP has crushing majority in the state assembly. Now, this has had a very interesting fallout. The fallout is that almost all of the media, including us at the print, have used the word love jihad in our headlines, saying that this is Yogi Adityanath government's law against love jihad. So we are being questioned by both sides, and anybody who's used that expression love jihad is being questioned by both sides. They are being questioned by the left liberal side by saying that, oh, you are mainstreaming the word love jihad in your newsrooms. Do you realize the perils of this? Good point. On the other hand, we are all of us who've used the expression love jihad, and I've checked a lot of the media, almost everybody has seen it as a love jihad law. Love jihad law. I think a lot of the times I will do this in this Kartha Tutter, so you know I'm putting stuff in double quotes. So we are all being questioned at the same time by the BJP and the UP government also, saying that how, on what basis do you call it love jihad law? You are just giving a communal taint to a normal law that protects people against conversion of from their faith by allurement, deceit, force, blackmail, etc., etc., etc. And if you read the letter of the law, it's difficult to argue with this. So in that case, does it mean that all the rest of us in the media who are seeing it as the love jihad law are both being flawed on both sides? That is, the liberal side and the illiberal side. How do we get into such a jam? So first of all, let's understand the law. Read the letter of the law. The law says Uttar Pradesh government has brought out this government of Uttar Pradesh government's note to me, which I am reading out from. We have brought out an effective law to check conversion with some stringent punitive provisions against individuals and organizations if found to have indulged in the conversion through manifestation of using force, deceit, by way of alluring into marriage or any other improper manner. Now, marriage is one of the things mentioned here. So, once again, if you read the letter of the law, it does not look like a law specifically directed at interfaith marriage. The law essentially says that if anybody intends to convert to another faith for whatever reason, he or she has to serve a 60-day notice on the district magistrate. And the district magistrate will then carry out inquiries to see if this conversion is of the person's own sweet volition or is there blackmail, coercion, deceit, etc., etc., etc. involved. Once again, for clarity, this does not apply to Special Marriage Act. People of different faiths who want to get married under Special Marriage Act can go through the usual motions, give a 30-day notice, which is the law, which is the Special Marriage Act, to the magistrate and get married. But remember, those weddings do not follow a religious ceremony. You go to court, you sign the papers, and then you are done with it. You are now in a situation where on the liberal side or on the anti-BJP side, it is said that this is purely a law to discourage interfaith marriage and to punish Hindu women who marry Muslim men and to discourage that, right? And also that it is misogynistic, it shows a gender bias that Hindu women need protection. So the state is coming in, and so again, it's a metaphor which I treat as a secular metaphor, but just because it's in Urdu, it uses the word Qazi, please don't mistake it to mean anything else. That old wisdom goes, Mia Bibi Razi to kya karega Qazi, right? In this case, Mia Bibi to Razi hain, but you have brought in the Qazi, which is the state. Two persons are getting married, why are you bringing the state in? The state's view, on the other hand, is that we have no issue with anybody's marriage. We are just saying, if you are going to change your faith for whatever reason, we are not saying don't change your faith, but give us a 60-day notice so we can figure out why you are changing your faith. Now, that is the factual situation. UP has done it. The fact is that many states in India in the past also have passed laws against religious conversion. But remember, the states that passed these early on had these laws directed against Christian missionaries. These were states with large tribal populations, and there was concern that Christian missionaries were coming in with a lot of money, with a lot of evangelical firepower, and they were carrying out mass conversions of tribals or animist communities into Christianity. So the first state in India to come up with a law like that actually was Odisha, where it was called Orissa. So in 1967, Odisha passed the Freedom of Religion Act, which had similar provisions that if you are converting to another faith, you have to give a notice to the district magistrate, who will then hold inquiries, who will call you, check out, convince himself or herself that this was happening voluntarily, and then let it be. Remember, Odisha, now it's called Odisha, has a large tribal population contiguous to the east central tribal heartland of India, that is Jharkhand going up to Maharashtra, Jharkhand on the east going up to Maharashtra on the west, and bordering Telangana and taking part of Odisha, etc., 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 and Bastar and Chhattisgarh. Now, the second state to pass a similar law was Madhya Pradesh. It was called Madhya Pradesh Freedom of Religion Act 1968. Once again, in late 60s, when Congress was in power in Delhi, and these states usually were under the Congress, although 1967 had seen some states ruled by non-Congress governments. That was the first time the Congress's own numbers in national parliament went below 300. And Congress, in Mrs. Gandhi's first election, had lost power in a lot of the heartland states as well. Nevertheless, this law was passed in Madhya Pradesh in 1968, again with the same purpose, because again, let me underline for you, in 1968, what is today's Chhattisgarh was part of Madhya Pradesh. That entire region, which is now called LWE zone, that is left-wing extremist influenced zone, that was part of Madhya Pradesh then. So once again, that law was directed at Christian missionaries who were seen to be converting tribals at a mass level. Then Jharkhand is another major tribal state. In fact, almost 27% population of the state is tribal. They also have a similar law controlling or discouraging conversions, and they in fact have had another debate there, which is a lot of the tribal saying, we are neither Hindus nor Christians, because missionaries from both sides are caught in a tussle to convert them, to define them as one of the two, and they are saying, we will follow our own religion, which is the worship of the sun and what they call as Sarna, essentially the worship of nature. And you will see this tweet from Jharkhand Chief Minister, where he says that he's now given the tribals the right to claim to be from that distinct religion as well. Arunachal Pradesh came up with a law in 1978, and that I covered closely. 1978, Arunachal came with a law. Before they came up with this law, in fact, O.P. Tyagi, who was a BJP member of parliament, he had moved a private motion, a private bill in parliament, where he wanted the same protection for tribals. But Arunachal has a peculiar history. Now, most tribal states in the Northeast, most tribals converted to Christianity in the 40s and the 50s, if not earlier. But as Arunachal was opening up in the 60s under Jawaharlal Nehru and his friend and anthropologist Warrior Elwin, who did a lot of work on Arunachali tribals, they decided that Arunachal should not have such a hasty change. So they followed a policy of hastening slowly. And as part of that policy, they said Arunachal should not be exposed to Christian missionaries, because they were also chastened by the experience of Mizoram and Nagaland, but more Nagaland than Mizoram, where they found that missionaries, especially foreign missionaries, had got very involved with insurgents and the leaders of the insurgency. So they did not want that happening in Arunachal. So one, Arunachal was protected with an inner line permit. Anybody going inside Arunachal had to take permission. And second, Arunachal passed this law called Arunachal Pradesh Freedom of Religion Act. Once again, under which, before a person converted, the person has to report to a magistrate. And then as the new laws came, not just the person had to report to the magistrate, but also the priest carrying out the conversion process or ceremony had to notify the magistrate, who would then have the power to assess whether it was a genuine voluntary conversion or not. Now, 1978, so I did cover a story then for the Indian Express when I was covering the Northeast, when I was based there, traveling on the Assam-Arunachal border, where we saw a fascinating phenomenon of Christian missionaries having set up hospitals, voluntary organizations, but most importantly, schools just this side of the Arunachal-Assam border. So Arunachali tribals were sending their children to be educated there, or they were coming in for medical treatment. In the process today, Arunachal Pradesh, the largest religious group are the Christians, about 30% at last count. Arunachal Pradesh is very diverse, as we know. Parts of Arunachal Pradesh that we are more familiar with, what was called earlier in our public perception, in our memory, Nefa, that's where the fighting took place, that is Bomdila, Sela, Tawang, etc., etc. That is essentially Buddhist. Our minister Kiran Rijiju comes from there, he's a Buddhist. But a large number of Arunachalis follow their own faith. Many of the tribes follow a faith called Doni Polo. Doni Polo essentially means worship of the sun and the moon. So you might call them animists. Hindus or Hindu missionaries think, oh, Suraj, Chand, ye to Hindu gods hain, to usme badi baat kya hai, ye to Hindu hi hain. The Christians on the other hand say, no, they are pagans or they are animists. So they have to be brought into a quote-unquote modern civilized religion. So this tussle goes on, and that law remains there on the law book, and it is still controversial there. Then Tamil Nadu in 2002 came up with Tamil Nadu Prohibition of Forcible Conversion Act. Again, primarily directed at Christian missionaries, because you will find that in Tamil Nadu, Andhra, parts of Karnataka, Christian missionaries, evangelists are very active. They are very active. They have TV channels, they have YouTube channels, they hold very large rallies. There are mass conversions. So there was a push against that as well. In fact, the current flashpoint of this is now coming up in Andhra Pradesh, where the chief minister is seen to be friendly with evangelists, and BJP is now slowly, as the BJP always does, slowly building opposition to that. So a friction point is now building up there. Then the new generation of anti-conversion laws came in. So let's say anti-conversion laws or Freedom of Religion Act 2.0. These started in 2018 when Modi government was well settled in Delhi and many of India's states were being ruled by the BJP with large majorities. So two Himalayan states came up with these laws, Uttarakhand Freedom of Religion Act 2018 and also Himachal Pradesh Freedom of Religion Act. These two added the word marriage to their Freedom of Religion Acts, and they said that if conversion is also to do in the course of a marriage, even then it has to be notified. So it is not just blackmail, allurement, pressure, inducement, deceit of any other kind, but even marriage. So these two BJP states passed these laws, Uttarakhand and Himachal. Now Himachal law, and I know some of these details from Apurva Mandhani, who covers the laws for us. She said in Himachal, they said conversion from one religion to the other was questioned under Section 3, which said that if you are converting from one religion to the other by misrepresentation, force, fraud, or by marriage, it is an offense. Then Section 5 said any marriage which was done for the sole purpose of conversion will be null and void. So the first time marriage is coming in now. Section 7 said that 1 month notice for conversion has to be served on the district magistrate, and also that the priest who will carry out the conversion to whatever faith will also have to notify the district magistrate, and district magistrate will then hold inquiries. In the Uttarakhand law, they also went one step further, where they said that even the parents and siblings of the person being converted have the right to go and complain to the district magistrate if they see that a conversion is taking place without following the regular process of law. So once again, you empowered the family. So you brought in the family into an affair which should be adult individual's own business. Then section 6 of this made a distinction between man and woman. So it was not gender equal in the sense that it referred to a man marrying a woman in consequence of that marriage, having the woman convert to his faith. So that distinction was made. So there is an explanatory note with this law, note 4, which says that we found many cases, we have come across incidents in which an agenda is followed to increase the strength of their own religion by getting people from their religion marrying people from another religion by pretending to be from their religion and then getting them to convert. Now UP government, UP law goes a step forward. UP law says that this is a cognizable offense. This is a non-bailable offense. Punishments are much higher, 6 months to 3 years of jail and 10,000 fine. And for mass conversion, 10 years of jail. And I'd also like to see what happens the next time, say in UP, and these things happen in UP, maybe a bunch of Dalits in a village decide to convert to Buddhism. Will they then have to submit a notice to the magistrate as well? I don't know. But that is a question that will come up. UP government makes a reference to the Allahabad High Court judgment from September. That Allahabad High Court judgment, one judge bench had said that if conversion is carried out only for the sake of getting married, then this cannot be valid because converting only for the sake of marriage cannot be for genuine commitment or belief, etc., etc. Never mind that Allahabad High Court, now a larger bench, has set that aside in a way. In a November 11 order, they've said that a bad law was set in the past, that what happens between two adults is entirely between them. Mia Bibi Razi, to kya karega Qazi? That is the law that Allahabad High Court has now established. The funny thing is that the earlier order, now the September order of Allahabad High Court that UP government used, actually is fascinating because there the religious equation was the reverse of what is seen as or what is described as love jihad these days. In that case, a Muslim girl married a Hindu boy and converted, and court said conversion just for the sake of marriage is not right. Then, of course, the later judgment by a larger bench of Allahabad High Court on November 11 said that this was wrong. A wrong law had been set, that this was not correct, and two adults can do what they want. So basically, they once again re-established the law of Mia Bibi Razi, to kya karega Qazi. Now, you can view this situation any which way, but the fact is that people who are doing it, what is at the back of their mind is love jihad. People who are opposing it, what is at the back of their mind is love jihad. One side sees what they call love jihad to be a bad thing and a threat to Hindu population, particularly Hindu women. The other side sees just the description love jihad to mean that something, that a bad idea is being legitimized. But this is at the back of the mind on both sides. So we also have to look at where did the idea of love jihad come in. So I've had two young colleagues of mine, Raghav Bhikchandani and Shubhangi Mishra, send me some data, and it's quite fascinating. And the fact is, I knew about nothing of this so far. So it looks like the term probably first came up in 1927. In Muzaffarnagar in Uttar Pradesh. Remember the place where we had riots in 2013, bad riots. 1927, it rumor spread that a Hindu woman had married a Muslim man and for that she had converted. So a mob gathered, went to their house in protest. It so turned out in the course of time that that woman was Muslim to begin with. She had not converted. But the idea of love jihad came in at that time. So we are getting data from research by a historian or a scholar called Charu Gupta, who has documented many of these cases. She's from Delhi University, who's documented several of these cases in her 2002 research from early 20th century. And earlier 20th century, a lot of the Hindu reformers had begun to talk about this. And they were talking about a lot of abduction cases. And they were saying Hindu women were being abducted, forcibly married to Muslim men, and then made to convert. And at that point, people didn't have such a lot of options. A lot of those cases, though, in her documentation, are cases of Hindu widows, because Hindu widow remarriage was not so easy, and also Dalits. But once again, that impulse was building up that Muslims take away Hindu women, they lure Hindu women away on the promise of marriage. Then this came up, then we are a very fascinating country, and we are a country of contrasts. So then this starts buzzing in our distant most state of Kerala. And what happens there? In Kerala, this buzz comes up not so much from the Hindu society there, but from the Christian society, because the churches councils there begin to say so. So Kerala Catholic Bishop Council, they said that a lot of Christian girls were being converted. In fact, they said that between 2006 and 2012, 447 Christian girls had been converted to Islam on the pretext of marriage. So that became their concept of love jihad. And Uman Chandy, who was the Congress chief minister in Kerala at that time, he admitted in the assembly that in that period, 2006 to 2012, 2,667 women from other faiths had been converted to Islam as they married Muslim men. But then he said there was nothing malevolent about it. This was normal. These things happen. But then something happened, because Global Council of Indian Christians then came up with the idea, or came up with the insinuation, that there was a global Islamist project that was being implemented in Kerala. And this particularly got a spark when a Christian girl who had converted to Islam while marrying a Muslim was arrested for having supplied SIM cards to some Lashkar-e-Toyba operatives. Now, why did I say India is a very fascinating country of contrasts? Because in Kerala, the left actually ends up on the other side of this debate. Because given the way coalitions are built in Kerala, the Congress party leads a coalition called UDF. UDF has the Muslim party, Indian Union Muslim League. It also has the Christian party, Kerala Congress. So Congress, in fact, commands the Christian and Muslim vote in Kerala, the minority vote in Kerala. Generally, you would think that the left will command the minority vote. In Kerala, it is the opposite. That is why we are such a nutcase country. So in Kerala, some of this movement against a kind of love jihad also came up from the left. So there was V.S. Achyutanandan, no less, the great Stalinist grandmaster of the left in Kerala, who came up with this idea and who said that this was happening, and that Muslims were converting girls from other religions forcibly, and lots of money and weapons were being pumped in for this. Then Kerala's Deputy Chief Minister K.S. Ishwarappa in 2013 also made similar allegations, and in fact was pulled up by Election Commission because he said this in his election campaign. And then it acquired a momentum of its own, because once it got into, say, the Hindi heartland, the states which have large Muslim populations, particularly UP, then it acquired its own momentum. Now there are many other things in UP, for example, in Agra, Akhil Bhartiya Vaishya Ekta Parishad, that is a Baniya organization, they said that there was love jihad going on, and they banned, or they thought they banned, women from their community from using mobile phones, because they thought mobile phones is what was causing, what was giving access to Muslim boys to their women. And they held a couple of conventions. They called some VIPs from Delhi. That did not go very far. But now this law, although the law is carefully worded, the law is not particularly different from the already existing laws in Uttarakhand, Himachal Pradesh, in its letter, it's not that different from any of the laws enacted earlier, including in Arunachal, Madhya Pradesh, Odisha in the 60s and 70s. But if you see the spirit of the law, that is quite evident.